and the mouth was a lipless circle of dribbling flesh. The arms were absent, but Mildred could see that there was a line of individual dwarfish fingers running from the shoulder along the side of the body, almost to the hip. They moved in a strange hypnotic rippling rhythm, like the cilia in the respiratory tract. Mildred closed the grill and moved to the next door. The second cell was empty. The third one wasn't. Inside was a tiny person, no more than one quarter of normal size. As far as Mildred could see through the slotted grill, it was male, as there was some dark curly hair around the mouth. Like the thing in the first cell, this one also lacked eyes. At the sound of the inspection vent opening, it turned its little face toward the door. The mouth opened, and a long, forked tongue slid out, seeming to taste the air. Suddenly, it hurled itself at the door with a fearsome ferocity. Mildred recoiled instinctively, though there was no way the creature could reach her through a half-inch of tempered steel. She guessed that the guards were aware of the habits of their prisoner and had patted the inside of the door. It leapt up and down, its small hands clawing at the grill, its toothless mouth opening and closing. With a shudder of horror, Mildred moved to the last cell on that side. Lying on the mattress was half a woman, naked, fast asleep. But it wasn't that she'd simply lost her legs. It was as if a giant guillotine had dropped on her with unimaginable force, cutting her diagonally, from just below her left armpit, through her groin, to the top of her right thigh. What made the sight even more bizarre was that the flesh seemed to have sealed and healed itself. There was no stitching or scarring, just the dreadful, clean cut. Mildred moved to the other side of the small passage. Tears were gathering at the corners of her eyes. She was barely winning the battle to keep herself from puking on the floor, dreading what awful abomination of nature she might stumble on next. The first cell on that side appeared empty, though the floor was covered in a strange, translucent coating of gelatinous slime. Mildred stared at it, trying to convince herself that it wasn't moving. The grill on the next cell showed a large man sitting on the toilet in the corner. His body was covered in hair, and both hands were gone, replaced by brutish paws with yellow claws. He had only one eye, set close to the center of his forehead. The movement of the grill attracted his attention, and he stood, revealing grotesquely large genitalia that hung almost to his bowed knees.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
It moved to stand close by the door, head to one side, smiling at the woman.
Hello. Yes.
Mildred looked into the deep-set brown eyes and realized that nobody was home. Whatever had been done to the man had totally robbed him of his intelligence.
Hello. Yes. Hello. Yes. Hello.
One more door. There was a naked woman sitting on the bed. Her body seemed fairly normal, though the right arm and leg looked to be better developed, as though she had played some strange sport that favored just the one side. But it wasn't the woman's body that drew Mildred's appalled attention. It was her head. Both of them. One was set on an ordinary neck, slightly to the right of the shoulders. It had cropped blonde hair, rosy cheeks, and bright blue eyes. The other head was visibly a little smaller, its neck sprouting off to the left side. The hair was lanker and longer, colored like wet straw. The eyes were of a duller shade of blue, and the complexion was noticeably more pale. The two heads were oblivious to the eyes watching them through the grill.
Patience is the great virtue.
We've waited an eternity already.
As long as I have the strength, you will never be able to take our life.
When you sleep, I can strangle us.
You tried, and it woke me. It was empty and pointless.
Our existence is empty and pointless.
The white coats have promised to try and reverse what they did to us in their laboratory.
The smaller head shook from side to side.
Can you believe the lies of the white coats?
There is nothing else to believe.
After the horrors they perform on us and others, after their endless failures?
No. Now they tell us they are close to success. The copying is working better every time.
It couldn't work worse if they tried.
The roomy eyes suddenly widened as they spotted Mildred's face peering through the grill in the cell door.
A watcher.
Now both heads were staring at Mildred. The body rose and walked toward the door, with a slight sway and limp that favored the right, dominant side.
Hello.
Hello.
Who are you? And why is your face so dark? Are you a failed experiment like the rest of us?
No. I'm an outlander. I'm just visiting the Institute with my friends.
Visiting? Yeah, we're all visitors here, you know.
The small head tried to push in front of its larger twin.
If you can escape, then run as far and fast as you can. This is a bad place of wicked, godless evil.
Well, well. Admiring the freaks, lady?
A hand gripped Mildred's shoulder, and the muzzle of a blaster dug into her ribs.
Step right up for the greatest show on earth.
Don't work so hard, Professor. Take it easy.
Ryan was patiently cutting with his cleaver at the 15-foot-high wall of drifted snow.
But it's nearly dark, and the temperature's dropping. We'll all die.
Professor Dorothea Gibson was on the ragged edge of mental and physical exhaustion. Using her bare hands, she worked alongside Ryan and Trader.
I'm not gonna fucking die. Just because of a little snap of cold and dark. Fact is, lady, I'm not ever intending to catch that last train to the coast. Nope. Not ever.
If you work too hard, Professor, you get in a sweat. You get in a sweat, and your clothes will get wet. That'll make you colder when you settle in for the night. So, just go slow and easy, all right?
Yes. All right.
I'll go fetch some spruce branches to help insulate us. Cold can get you from all directions. When you crawl in, try to avoid getting loose snow on your clothes. It could easily turn to ice in the night. Keep dry and keep warm.
What about a fire?
It's still snowing hard. If we had some pyrotabs, we could maybe get something going hot enough to stand against the weather. But we don't. Everything's soaking wet and frozen.
They had been working on making a snow hole for the past half hour. Now there was a hollow about 6 feet across and 4 feet deep. The floor would be covered with the green branches that Trader would hack down. Professor Gibson looked with distrust at the crude hole in the snow, squinting sideways at Ryan.
You think it'll save our lives?
I do.
Soon, Thea Gibson, Ryan, and Trader lay in the cramped darkness of the shelter.
Whoever that is, keep your hands to yourself.
Oh, sorry, lady.
How did I guess that it was you?
Because I'm the only real red-blooded man here. Ryan prefers sheep and young men.
Ryan didn't rise to the bait. He'd managed to snatch a few minutes of comforting sleep, secure in the knowledge that their snow shelter would keep all of them alive until the morning, when they could set off again on the trail back to the Institute. They'd left a small hole clear, about 3 inches in diameter, at the front of the snow wall for ventilation. With the three of them bundled so tightly together, they generated enough heat to keep the temperature inside the hole only a degree or two below freezing.
What about frostbite?
No danger of that. We're all warm enough. Fact is, we'd be even warmer if we all took off all our clothes and got busy.
Sexual congress is the last thing on my mind.
You sure? How about if I wriggled around a bit and you sat on my face?
I suppose that would, at the least, shut you up for a while. No! No.
Trader woke up very early the next morning. He lay on his back and kicked through the frozen crust of snow, letting in the first filtered light of the false dawn. Ryan awoke immediately, but Thea Gibson pressed her face harder into his shoulder, staying locked into sleep.
That lady is pokeable. If we had more time, I'd have her fallen into my hand like a fine ripe peach.
Are we getting up?
Might as well. Snow stopped. It's cold as a baron's charity, but we could get moving. We'll soon warm up.